have campaign ads, candidate rhetoric, and a mailbox full of flyers? Are you thinking of sitting out this election? Don't do it. As Christians, it's our responsibility to be salt and light. How can we influence our nation for godly values if we don't make our voices heard? Show your support for candidates who share our biblical values by voting wisely. Use iVoterGuide.com as a free tool to help you identify those candidates. Be a good steward of your vote on November the 5th. Vote wisely with iVoterGuide.com.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today is Monday, November the 4th, 2024. I'm Tim with Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Yeah, we're going to be playing music for the next couple of days because there's nothing going on.
Yes. Christopher Woodward. Good morning, Chris.
Hello. Good morning.
Yeah. We're on the eve of Election Day. It's finally here.
Yes.
I saw a text. Oh, not a text. I saw a message from Elon Musk.
Uh-huh.
And he was joking around. He said, are you dead from political text yet? And people I know are just exhausted. Most people are with emails and text and television ads. And we're ready to have this all decided tomorrow, right?
Make it happen.
Make it happen. Get it over with one way or another.
Absolutely. I've heard enough speeches,
right?
You know, because the speeches start repeating themselves.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again.
Yeah.
The talking
points. I know. We're ready.
Yep.
It's time to vote.
Yep.
And tomorrow's election day. And is there any theme, any projections that people are making, generally speaking, going into tomorrow?
Everybody agrees.
Okay.
The polls are very consistent now. Very tight races across the country, particularly in particular Senate races. And, of course, the races, six or seven states that everybody watches, kind of the bellwether states that's going on, very close. The one thing also that people are noting is that in these late stages, in the last two or three weeks, that former President Trump has seen a surge up. So the trending is good for former President Trump, not so good for Kamala Harris. Now, that doesn't mean Kamala Harris has fallen far behind. It's just that when you compare it with 2020, when you compare it with 2016, Donald Trump is doing much better in the polling than he was in those two previous presidential elections.
Yeah, it's pretty startling, the difference between hold on a sec. I was trying to pull that up. Okay. If you go, I've promoted this website many times, but I find it very helpful. Real Clear Politics. Okay. Go to their website. Okay. If you go over to the right side of the page, it has a what's called This Day in History. And what this does, it shows where the race was between in 2016 on this day, one day before election, where the race was on 2020, in 2020, I should say, on this day, the day before the election, and what the surveys polling shows today leading up until tomorrow. Do you see that, Fred?
Yep, I got it right here in front of me.
Okay, so remember, 16, it was Clinton v. Trump. 2020, it was Biden v. Trump, by via mean versus. That's a kind of a sports terminology. And tomorrow will be Trump versus Harris. So, in 2016 and 2020, Biden and Clinton were way ahead. I say way ahead. They were ahead in a lot of the polls in the swing states, and that's not the case today. True?
No, and nationally, in 2016, at this point, day before election, Clinton was leading Trump by plus 3.2. In 2020, Biden was leading Trump by 6.9, almost 7 points. Today, Trump is up 0.1. Now, 0.1 sounds like a small, but when you compare both Biden in 2020 and Clinton in 16, that's a big jump.
Yeah.
A real big jump.
What happened to Hillary Clinton, and we will let you talk sometime this hour, Chris, so hold on.
I'm here for you.
What happened to Hillary Clinton was that she did not pay attention to states she took for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't spend a lot, cut back spending money, didn't make any visits, namely Michigan. And so Trump was able to pull off a trifecta that caused him to win the Electoral College, despite not winning the popular vote against Hillary Clinton. I mean, it was a major upset that night. We all remember what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So she won. Trump was able to barely squeak by, but he did, in Michigan and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, thus leading to the defeat of Hillary Clinton, to the amazement and shock of almost all the polling people and the media pundits. You remember that night? That'll go down in political and television infamy.
Yes.
What happened that night. Sometimes if you're feeling blue and you want to have a pick-me-up, just click, just type in election results 2016 TV. I don't know what you type in. Fun.
Election night. Yeah.
And you'll see that. But so what you're saying is, what these polls are saying is, in 16 and 20, the Democrat candidate, Biden and Clinton, were showing ahead enough to beat Trump.
Yes.
And then 2024, it shows Trump ahead.
Yes.
So if things go tomorrow as they went in the trends of 16 and 20, Trump should win. That's what the general consensus is, right?
And another big difference is the early voter turnout. People who have already voted compared to those 2 years, 2016 and 2020. It's huge. I think it's about 60 million, stand to be correct.
That have already voted.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
And in many of these states, the polling is showing that there is a real surge amongst Republicans voting early. Remember, that's been a criticism of some in the Republican Party, that, you know, it was kind of a laissez-faire attitude towards early voting. Not this time. There was strong encouragement for Republicans to go out and vote early, and that appears to have happened.
Yeah. Well, big day tomorrow. If you want to know those three states I mentioned earlier that made a big difference with Trump beating Clinton, in Pennsylvania, Trump is up 0.3.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's a virtual tie. In the state of Wisconsin, Harris is up 0.4, so it's a virtual tie. And in the state of, what was the other state I mentioned, Michigan, Harris is showing up 1.2. But if you're Harris, I mean, if you're the Harris campaign, you're very nervous about those states, because you should be winning those states by 3 or 4 points, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Traditionally.
And Pennsylvania is kind of the bellwether when it comes to those states, which is why today Kamala Harris has got about 6 events
in
Pennsylvania. She's not going anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
It is just Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Walz, her running mate, is spending his day in Wisconsin. Walz is going to be in La Crosse, Stevens Point, Milwaukee, and Detroit for a late-night rally there. She's going to end the day in Philadelphia, which is where her campaign began when Biden passed the torch on to her. How many ever months ago it's been? Feels like 2 years at this point.
Okay, can I give you my general feeling about this?
Go for it.
Okay, just as an observer, like everybody else, I think the reason that the polling has shown a move toward Trump in the last 3 weeks is because the people maybe who were undecided, they weren't necessarily hardcore Republicans or hardcore Democrats, but they're having to make up their mind now. They don't really follow politics that close until it gets time to, you know, to go vote. They're not like political. So oftentimes we think people are like us. They're like political junkies, and most people or what I call normal.
Yeah.
they're not day to day. Okay. So those people, I think, have decided that they don't want Kamala Harris as the leader of the country.
Yeah.
For 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
They may not care for some of Trump's antics,
mm-hmm.
you know, but there was a lot of things that Trump did during his first 4 years that are proven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you kind of know what you're getting with Trump in terms of his policy, his what the things he's going to do and say and be for.
Mm-hmm.
With Harris, it's a big unknown. Because she comes up for these, and people will vote against the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of other people, they're going like, she has said and done some things that prove so far left. Even though I may not be a quote conservative, I can't go for this, letting all the people continue to flow into our country illegally. I can't go for that. This I'm telling you how a lot of these people are thinking.
Mm-hmm.
They're thinking foreign policy. Do I really want Kamala Harris being the commander in chief and dealing with all these problems and leaders in the world? And she just doesn't sound like to me she's capable.
Yep.
I'm just telling you what I think people's perceptions are. I'm not trying to belittle Kamala Harris personally. I'm just telling you that's what I mm-hmm. think a lot of people have come to the conclusion.
Yeah. Well, the Democrat campaign has been a mess. We started with Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And everybody started to notice that, yeah, he wasn't doing well. And then there was the disastrous debate in June.
Yeah.
And everybody, including Democrats, solidified in their mind, we can't have this man on the top of the ticket. He's
right, right, he's right. Even not, the Democrats.
Yeah. Said we, well, yeah. yeah. And it was the night of the long knives.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's you know.
Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, they got rid of Biden.
Hollywood wanted him out.
Right.
Barack Obama
right.
wanted him out.
Right, right.
And so they handpicked Kamala Harris. One of the other problems for Kamala Harris is we've had 4 years of Biden-Harris.
Right.
And her talk about, it's not my fault that 20 million people have crossed the southern border. People aren't buying that.
No. Nope. Mm-hmm.
They're not buying that.
Nope.
They got grocery bills that are up 20%.
Right.
And they're not Biden that they're not buying that
the
Biden and Harris
has worked.
Yeah, you know, the other thing was the flip flops, fracking.
Yeah,
she was on record. There's videotape has been very bad for Kamala Harris.
Right.
You know, I'm against fracking. Oh, now I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, all of these things have just added up and added up. And I think the other thing too, psychologically, the attempt on former President Trump's life in Butler, Pennsylvania. There was a turning point there, I think, in the emotions of the country towards Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Something happened there.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I've got some audio here. I've got a lot of things to play, but you mentioned foreign policy there. Whoever wins this election, one of the first things it's going to have to deal with is the situation between Israel and Hamas and all the other terrorist groups that want Israel to exist no more. Vice President Kamala Harris has clearly spoken out of both sides of her mouth when it comes to the war between Israel and Hamas.
So clear double talk. I like.
Yes.
That's a oxymoron, sort of.
Yes.
Clear double talk. See what I did there?
Yeah, I see what you did there.
Go ahead.
So to prove that she has tried to ride the fence here and appeal to both sides in an effort to try to get votes here, let's just play a little bit. It's a montage of Kamala saying one thing about the so-called Palestinians and then something else about Israelis. Clip 4.
What has happened in Gaza over the past 9 months is devastating. We cannot allow ourselves to become numb to the suffering, and I will not be silent.
Let me be clear. I will always stand up for Israel's right to defend itself, and I will always ensure Israel has the ability to defend itself, because the people of Israel must never again face the horror that a terrorist organization called Hamas caused on October 7.
Now, the part at the end there was her speech at the DNC, where a few years ago they booed God. So Democrats are even all over the place on this particular issue.
Yeah. Well, you know what happens when you ride the fence, right?
You lose elections.
No. Well, you lose elections, but you get splinters in your you-know-what.
Yeah.
to it, huh?
I see what you did.
I've been waiting to use that.
I'm going to use that later today.
And you end up falling off at some point.
Yeah. Right. But listen, that is another thing I think that's hurt Kamala Harris is her flip-flops. Obvious, blatant flip-flops on positions to try to make herself appear to be more moderate when she's been a far lefty her whole career. And you remember the listen, if I'm Israel, I'm nervous that she would win because I think if she wins, the relationship with Israel is going to be beyond strained. It could be very adversarial. They're already having a tough time with Biden. You know, now Biden's been generally supportive of Israel over his career, but he's even talked about taking weapons away and so forth and so on. They're trying to, what these Democrats are doing is they've got a problem in their own party with people who can't stand Israel.
Yep.
All right. Some would say that's anti-Semitic based on anti-Semitism. I agree with that. So they've got a real problem in their own party, and but yet they've also got a lot of Jews that are in the Democrat Party and vote Democrat and are, you know, in the Democrat Party. They've got most Jews go vote Democrat. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how that what happens tomorrow.
Yeah,
with that vote, given her position on Israel, she may have said that what you just heard at the Democrat National Convention, but you played that clip. She said, what was it she said? Let's play it again. Listen to the first part of this. This is prior to the Democrat National Convention.
Yes.
What has happened in Gaza over the past 9 months is devastating. We cannot allow ourselves to become numb to the suffering, and I will not be silent.
Okay. So, as a matter of fact, there has been a lot of suffering in Gaza among the people who live there. That is a fact. So that's not unfactual what she's saying there. Due to the bombardment by the Israelis and the Israeli military going in there and having, but it's unavoidable. It's sad and tragic for people who are innocent, who are non-militants, women and children. But at the same time, Israel is stuck with no choice. They have to go into Gaza to clean out the terrorist of Hamas who hide behind innocent people, and they build tunnels under hospitals and mosques and residential buildings. And so they do that on purpose because they know that if Israel is going to get to them, Israel is going to have to commit what people would say war crimes or, and that's what she's referring to.
Yes.
That's what Kamala Harris is referring to. She's saying she said, I will not be silent about the Palestinians who are dying in Gaza. And if you want to just make a connection there, finish that thought out or sentence, she might as well have said, because of the Israeli military's operations. So I'm getting to a point here. So what, if she were elected president, she would immediately begin to tell Benjamin Netanyahu and the Israelis, you can't do that. Don't do that. She would begin to cause them to either dictate the way they respond, their military actions, their intelligence. And if she would probably say, if they don't do what I tell them to do, then we will cut them off. We will cut them off diplomatically,
yep.
Militarily. We will isolate it. We will help isolate Israel. Like the United Nations tries to do all the time. You know, we see that. Basically, it's the U.S. and Israel standing together against the world.
Yeah.
I will say the U.K. does join in, and you know, Great Britain join in on the right side of things most of the time. But so back to my original point, if you're in Israel right now, you're nervous that she's going to, if she wins, exactly what I said will begin to happen.
Right. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And I think there was a poll in the last few weeks of Israelis in Israel. Who would you choose? Donald Trump overwhelmingly won that poll.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Because Trump was very supportive, has been, and very supportive of Israel and against Hamas and Hezbollah, very, very, forceful on that. So was his Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, mm-hmm. during Trump's first four, you know, his first administration. So there's a record there. Trump also moved the capital from used the U.S. Embassy.
Mm-hmm.
He can't move the capital. Yeah. That's a little too.
That might start a war.
I don't even think the President of the United States can move the capital, but the he moved the embassy.
Mm-hmm.
Trump did. From Tel Aviv to Jerusalem to show support for no other president having even attempted that.
Mm-hmm. Even when they promised, these other presidents promised yeah, right. to do it.
Yeah. And for anybody.
Because they didn't want to agitate the
yes. The and then there's the Abrahamic Accords.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, making peace with Arab countries and opening up dialogue and trading.
Yeah.
You know, it's been really interesting. The other aspect, I never thought I would see this, is I was watching a rally that Trump had in Dearborn, Michigan, I think last week.
Right. Yeah.
A huge number of Arabs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, they are pro-Palestinian, but they believe Trump can bring peace.
Right. That's a good point.
They believe Trump can at least bring a truce about
yeah.
between the two groups.
Right.
They just want the fighting to end.
Right.
And they say, and they're very vocal about this, they are supporting Trump. So it is fascinating the bridges that Trump has been able to carry out this time.
Yeah.
And Kamala Harris has completely failed on.
Mm-hmm. For, you know, domestic issues are driving a lot of people to the polls if they haven't voted already. But foreign policy matters do impact elections. And I say that because of something you guys lived through. It's before my time. But interestingly enough, on this day in history, the Iran hostage crisis began. And also on this day, history, a year later, Ronald Reagan was elected president,
mm-hmm.
due in part to things like the Iran hostage mm-hmm. crisis. Yeah. So foreign policy situations do impact U.S. elections.
Yeah. I think another thing, we can talk to this with Dr. Robert Gagnon, who's going to be on with us at the bottom of the hour. I do think that Harris's view on transgenderism
mm-hmm.
has cost her some other maybe supporters or potential voters because she's so extreme on this.
Mm-hmm.
There is a very effective television ad that maybe you've seen, which shows her being interviewed at a transgender conference or whatever like that, where Harris is promising to use taxpayer money to pay for gender change service surgeries for illegal immigrants who are in prison.
Yes.
In the U.S. Have you seen this?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's very effective
yep.
By the Trump campaign, or it's either the Trump campaign or it's one of these super PACs. I'm not sure which. I think it's the Trump campaign. But showing how extreme she is on this issue. And so I think that gives a lot of people pause as well. So,
And she's all in on men claiming to be girls, being allowed to play on girls in girls' sports.
Oh, yeah.
That has really rubbed even liberal moms
right.
in a bad way.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of people laugh and don't buy it when she says or posts things on social media that I'm going to be a president for all Americans. Obviously, you're not.
No.
You're not running for Jack Phillips.
No, she's a very strong believer.
Gaines.
Listen, Harris, there's two things Harris on social issues. Again, we can talk about this when we come back, that I think hurt her. And you could argue there's some things Trump stands for that hurts him. But I think Harris is for abortion on demand through 9 months of pregnancy.
Yes.
That is not where the American people are. I don't think the American people, they're not pro-life like we are. But they're certainly not for babies being killed up to 9 months of pregnancy. You notice when she was asked about this, she didn't answer that question mm-hmm. straight on.
Mm-hmm.
She said, "Oh, come on!" Remember that answer?
Yeah.
It's a safe
come on as an answer to "Are you in favor? Are you in favor of abortion up through 9 months?" And she says, "Oh, come on!" That means I don't want to be boxed in. I don't want to answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that means.
Yep.
So, now the Democrats are trying to use Trump's position on abortion against him. You know, to try to get votes for their side, saying Trump's going to implement a national abortion ban, which is completely false. You can't even do that. So, anyway, we'll be back momentarily.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
In the book of Proverbs, we read these words, "A man's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor." His name was Thomas Jefferson. He was born at Shadwell, Virginia, on April the 13th, 1743. He died on July the 4th, 1826. The date was a tribute to the man, and in between those two dates, he tied together a life of service to his fellow man. You probably remember him as the author of the Declaration of Independence. And most of all, he would have wanted you to remember him for that. He even wrote his own epitaph. He had a reason for doing so. Before his death, he gave his daughter Martha Randolph instructions to have these words inscribed on his headstone. "Here was buried Thomas Jefferson, author of the Declaration of American Independence, of the Statute of Virginia for Religious Freedom, and father of the University of Virginia." You know, that's saying a lot about a man's life, any man's life. Jefferson could have put more on that headstone, you know. He could have added a long list of accomplishments. He could have stated that he had served the state of Virginia as its governor. Most of us, had we the honor of being governor, would have included it in our epitaph, but not Jefferson. Also, he could have stated that he was a member of Congress, for he was, but he didn't choose to put that on his headstone. Jefferson could have also reminded those who were to view his headstone of the fact that he was minister to France and Secretary of State. He was that, you recall, under the administration of George Washington. And that would have been something worth recalling for most of us, but not for Jefferson. From that position, Jefferson moved up to the number two man of these United States. He served as vice president under John Adams, but not even that was included on his headstone. Had he wished, Jefferson could have engraved on his headstone the fact that he was president of this country, not once, but twice. And that's an honor shared by very, very few men. But Jefferson did not consider even that fact worthy to be included in his most precious accomplishments. Most of us would agree that pride is often a vice that destroys us. We accomplish something and we cannot wait for the world to learn of our deed and praise us for doing it. And many of us keep telling people years after our accomplishment of what we once did. Some people learn how to handle pride. Jefferson was such a man. He learned how, like all people who do so, through a great desire to be a servant. Why didn't Jefferson include all those other accomplishments on his headstone? Well, he told his daughter when she sought the reason. "The things that are not on my inscription are the things the people did for me," he said. "The things that are on it are things I did for the people." That's proper control of pride. Pray to God that we can all acquire it.
This has been My Turn with Don Weilman, a production of the American Family Association.
However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. 1 Corinthians 2:9.
American Family Radio.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Fred, Chris, and now joining us is Dr. Robert Gagnon. He's visiting scholar at Wesley Biblical Seminary and joins us via the phone. Dr. Gagnon, or Robert, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Tim.
Hey, Robert, tell folks a little bit of your background, then we want to get into this topic of your columns here.
Well, I've been writing on the issue of the Bible and homosexual practice for decades now, a quarter century. I came out with a book back in 2021 about the Bible and homosexual practice, 500 pages on the subject, and I've continued to write on it, other books, other articles. So it's a it's an issue that I've been following both in relation to scripture and also in relation to the political scene because that affects what I do.
Okay. So I want to play, Robert, you don't know I was going to do this because we haven't talked except by text this morning. I want to play the ad I was talking about, get your reaction. This is a, we've all seen it, most people have seen it anyway, the television ad, and maybe it's appearing on the internet too, which listen to Vice President Harris about her support for the transgendered movement and government paying for such. Go ahead.
Well, supports taxpayer-funded sex changes for prisoners.
Surgery.
For prisoners.
For prisoners. Every transgender inmate in the prison system would have access.
It's hard to believe, but it's true. Even the liberal media was shocked Kamala supports taxpayer-funded sex changes for prisoners and illegal aliens.
Every transgender inmate would have access.
Kamala's for they/them. President Trump is for you.
Yeah, so that was a paid political ad, but Robert, that's that's pretty straight. She was appearing and being interviewed by, I think, at a conference where a transgendered person was interviewing her. She's just out and out, very supportive of government paying for surgeries on people to change their sexual identity. Go ahead.
Yes, it's she's as extreme on the issue as extreme could be. She has a very long track record going all the way back to 2004 when she was a district attorney in San Francisco and proudly was the first to marry several gay couples. Currently, the Biden administration, Biden-Harris administration, is suing the state of Tennessee, bringing them to the taking them to the Supreme Court. Why are they doing that? Because Tennessee passed a bill that protects minors from puberty blockers, cross-gender hormones, and sex reassignment surgery. Now, we're talking about minors here. And the Biden-Harris administration can't stand for that. They want the promotion of what will effectively become a fait accompli for minors. We know that if you don't give them puberty blockers and cross-gender hormones, more than 85% of the time, they are not likely to continue with gender identity dysphoria. They will grow out of it. But if you give them those things, then it becomes a fait accompli. They almost invariably then transition fully, often including sex reassignment surgery. We have to be very clear, Tim, what this is about. This is about state-sponsored child abuse. Can you imagine 20 years ago, we were told that a candidate would be talking about changing over a minor now, very impressionable, who changes his or her viewpoint about his or herself about as often as they change clothes. But we're going to give them irreversible procedures that will result in them being chemically castrated for life and unable to experience pleasure in the zones of one's body where one experiences those things. Once they're operated on, they're not going to experience it at all. And now we're at a state or a position where the state is actually moving towards regarding parents that don't support such transition as child abusers. And the state will take action against them accordingly.
Fred, Robert, also her selection for a running mate, Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, he is every bit as radical or even more so than she is on the pro-transgender homosexual agenda.
Yes, I would not say more so because Kamala is at the very top. There's nobody who exceeds her on that. However, it is absolutely correct that Tim Walz equals her on that. The only governor that would be on the same level as Tim Walz as a governor would be Governor Newsom in California. And I'm not even sure he reaches Tim Walz's level. It was Tim Walz that, by the way, on the abortion question, he was the first one in the state to pass legislation, a radical legislation permitting abortion for all 9 months. Now, way back when he was a teacher, in Minnesota. He was the leader of a gay straight student alliance whose whole job was to promote homosexuality and transgenderism in the school and to treat those, any dissenters, as the moral equivalent of hateful, ignorant bigots. So he's also been very long in this. And same thing, he's been pushing transgender as well. He's created Minnesota to be a sanctuary state for transgender minors whose parents or whose state does not approve of gender transition for minors. This is extraordinary. That is exactly why Kamala Harris chose him, because she's as far left on abortion and the LGBTQ agenda as she is.
Robert, I think it's really important for our audience to remind them, not only are Kamala Harris, Tim Walz, huge promoters of the left-wing agenda of transgenderism, homosexuality, but I believe also what we have seen in the last 4 years is an indication they would be willing to punish people who are opposed to that agenda.
Absolutely. This goes hand in hand with the promotion of the LGBTQ agenda. You always have this with that promotion, and that is the cancellation of free speech and free exercise of religion on these matters. They're not going to ask you whether they can be able to indoctrinate your children forcibly. There's not going to be a parental opt-out for the children. They're going to be promoting this in the workplace and in professions. Tim Walz just recently had signed a bill in the state of Minnesota that he pushed that required on the part of those who want teacher certification in Minnesota that they have to affirm transgenderism and the homosexual life, and they have to integrate it in their curriculum. And if they do not do so, they cannot be licensed in the state. Now, that means that all faithful Christians cannot enter the teaching profession in the state of Minnesota once that takes effect in 2025. And it's not limited to that profession. It'll be promoted in the medical profession, already psychology profession, the legal profession. So it really affects every aspect of life. It will affect the family because of their ability to even take their children out of your home if you don't promote that agenda to an LGBTQ-identified child of your own. It'll affect the church, tax-exempt status. It will affect Christian education. All they have to do is withhold federal tax dollars for student loans. Just not give that to Christian schools, and almost every Christian school will fold. And that's an action that can be taken by executive order by the president. Does not require legislation. There is no aspect of life, your involvement in social media, in public, in which you will not find your free speech and free exercise of religion abridged. And that includes mandatory use of transgender pronouns and name. So this is as draconian as it can get for Christians.
Talking to Dr. Robert Gagnon, visiting scholar at Wesley Biblical Seminary. You've written three articles on this. On these topics, Robert, where can people read these?
So these are found on a site called Christ Over All. It's a Reformed conservative Christian site. They can also see the articles on my Facebook page or on my Twitter or X page as well. And one of them is explaining what the two key voting concerns would be for Christians. And another one explains why sometimes you have to vote for a lesser of two evils, and this is not an immoral thing to do, but it's a good thing. It's for the greater good, and it's what, in fact, it's even the way that God operates, and it reflects the choices that sometimes God gives when punishing his people. And then the third one is on the extremist track record of Harris and Walz in promoting LGBTQ immorality and abortion. On the first one, very important for Christians to know. How do we determine what takes priority for us in voting? Well, all we need to do is start at the beginning in the creation text, the affirmation of the image bearing of human beings made in God's image and likeness, and therefore the most important of God's creation, and then the establishment of a male-female prerequisite for sexual unions, marriage. God creating, integrating their creation as male and female with their creation in God's image as a way of saying that what they do sexually can either enhance or efface that image bearing from God. And that's the same thing that's pointed out in the Genesis 2 text, where it talks about the woman being created from Adam's rib, which is, I think, better translated side, the Hebrew word selah. That is a term that's used everywhere else in the Hebrew Bible to refer to the side of a piece of sacral architecture, the Ark of the Covenant, the Tabernacle, the Incense Altar, the Eschatological Temple in Ezekiel, the Solomonic Temple. It's a way of saying that human beings and their design as male and female are sacred architecture before God. These are the two central pillars or building blocks of human civilization and of creation as far as God is concerned. And what are the two issues that most assault those standards or pillars in society that God has placed? It's the attempt to take innocent human life in the womb, abortion, which Democrats are promoting as an idol, and the attempt to promote LGBTQ immorality, which is a rejection of that male-female requirement that God has embedded in creation. So the two central elements in creation, when you look at Genesis 1-2, these are the two central idols that are being pushed by the Democratic Party to reject these two central pillars. So we have to prioritize those two things over everything else.
Yes. We're talking to Dr. Robert Gagnon, G-A-G-N-O-N, G-A-G-N-O-N. And the website he mentioned, you put them on our Facebook, our Today's Issues Facebook page. We've got a link. Today's Issues Facebook page. We've got a link to the columns that Dr. Gagnon has written about, three of them, which go into what he's just talking about right now. The website he mentioned earlier is called Christ Overall. Christ Overall. You know, Robert, Fred, I'd like you to comment on this, and Robert can, Chris. But you got five more minutes, Robert?
I sure do.
Okay. So, listen, I think for most American voters, in considering the transgendered issue, and I think most people would say, most people who are maybe not call themselves conservative necessarily, but they would say, number one, there is a difference between what a adult wants to do with their body and what a minor is wants to do with their body, even without parental consent. Does that mean our consent? I don't think parents should be able to give consent to a chemical castration and all these drugs,
blockers,
these things, these puberty blockers and things. You should not be able. What do you say, Robert?
Cross-gender hormones. Yeah,
yes.
As well.
You should not be able to take those as a minor. Period. I'm talking about 18 and under, in any state in the union. Just as you can't buy alcohol, or tobacco. Or, you know what I'm saying? You can't get your ears.
You can't even
ears pierced.
You can't even give an aspirin to a child without parental consent.
Right. So you should not be able, as a minor, to get those kinds of things and put them into your body, or have surgeries that are irreversible. And so, but now, are you saying? So that's a different. I think it's regrettable and it's tragic that any adult would do this to themselves as well. But that's a decision they make consciously and as a legal adult. But are you saying, Robert, that anyway, Fred, go ahead. I wanted you to comment to this.
Yeah, just biologically speaking, and Robert, you can comment on this. Biologically speaking, when kids are in that age, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, hormones are at different levels. And it's confusing. One of the big problems today is social media, and kids are getting their information from social media, and that's a whole other discussion where parents need to apply some discipline there. But they're getting the idea that, you know, from social media, if you have this feeling, then you should go ahead and do this. And what's happening is in some jurisdictions, the education community is saying to these young men and women, young boys and girls, if you have these feelings, come to us. We won't tell your parents, but we'll start. And there's cases of this. They start getting prescriptions. They being the education system, the school system, getting prescriptions for these little kids to start this treatment. And this is the kind of thing that is so scary and draconian that's going on right now, Robert.
Oh, all excellent points. And, you know, I don't know if all of your listeners have know this, but in the state of California, they recently passed a bill that mandated that school administrators and teachers are not to relay to the parents the gender transition of their child. Under law, they cannot do that unless the child gives permission for that to happen, a minor child. So it is against the law now in California to divulge that to parents. So they will deceive you. They won't use the trans name and pronouns of that child that are being used in school. And they can also find ways of administering to them puberty blockers, transgender hormones, and the parents would be completely unaware until it's too late. This is entirely supported by Harris. This is outrageous interference of parental rights. But the state believes that they're better parents than parents in that question. And not only is the state committing child abuse, but the state will actually prosecute you as a child abuser of your own child for not supporting behavior that will lead to irreversible chemical castration.
Where is this in California?
This is in the whole state. Governor Newsom signed it into law about a month ago.
And if Harris is elected, she will try to Californize, if that's a word, the United States. I mean, what Robert...
Absolutely. She worked with Newsom in San Francisco. They're two deeply embedded San Francisco Democrats. They share all views on LGBTQ and abortion issues. It could not be more extreme. The danger to Christians could not be greater. The danger to your children could not be greater than the vote that you need to cast, we all need to cast in this election to support the far lesser of the two evils that will do far greater good.
Yeah, I might object to your use of the term lesser of two evils, but I understand what you're saying here.
No, I would accept that rejection too. I think in some sense, every candidate is a lesser of two evils or greater of two evils because we're all imperfect. But I don't think of Trump as an evil per se.
Right. That's what I mean.
He's against the transgender agenda. Yeah. And he's not everything we want, though, for abortion. He's not everything that we want for the gay stuff as well. But he's so far superior.
He's not going to push it. He's not going to push and promote evil. I don't think.
Even with regard to the abortion question, lots of complaints by Christians on that. But there really isn't much voter chance at this point to get a ban on abortion, even in any individual state, even in a state like Texas completely. So there's nothing that electing Trump is going to turn out to be a bad thing for Christians and voting for him on this question. He's not going to promote anything nationwide. He's not going to prosecute pro-life protesters.
Right.
He's not going to prosecute whistleblowers about hospitals giving transgender surgery to minors. So he is going to be a friend to us on that. Free speech, free exercise of religion, the border crisis, etc. There's no reason for Christians not to vote for him.
Yeah. All right, Robert, listen, thank you so much. Appreciate you being on with us this morning, Dr. Robert Gagnon, G-A-G-N-O-N. Thank you so much. Appreciate all your work on this. And are you in Jackson much?
Actually, I'm normally in Pittsburgh teaching remotely, occasionally going down to Jackson.
Okay, because you're a scholar at Wesley Biblical Seminary. That's the reason I ask, which is located in the Jackson, Mississippi area. Well, if you're ever traveling down this way, come see us.
I would love to. Thanks for the good work that you're all doing.
Thank you. Thank you, Robert. Robert Gagnon joining us there. Hey, listen, there's one other aspect of this that we've talked about before. We need to reiterate. I mean, Robert couldn't have made a better case about Harris and Walz too, promoting the transgender.
Oh, sure.
Even for kids, there's two. Listen, I don't want to ever make things up about candidates, good, bad, or ugly. You want to go with the facts and what they've said and what their positions have been. And I think everything Robert said there was factual.
Oh, yes. And he's not the only one that has said things like that. For example, on this network.
Yeah. And let me say one other thing about that. Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, who is the Democrat VP choice, he said, because I heard him, he said he was asked about free speech. And he said, and I'm what do you call it?
paraphrasing
what he said here, but I could find it if I had a few minutes. He said that when it comes to hate speech, we need to do away with the idea that there is free speech.
Mm-hmm.
You saw this. You guys heard this.
We played the clip.
We played the clip.
It's been a long time. But
so what the vice president candidate is saying is kind of along the theme of what Robert's been talking about, what lies ahead should these people get in charge who believe in shutting down Christians if they don't go along with all this stuff and churches and punishing, they believe in punishing public schools who don't believe in going along with all this stuff by taking away federal tax dollars who generally go to feed children lunch and stuff. But what he said was, that is, if you don't promote the transgendered movement, letting boys play girls sports and go in girls showers and changing areas, letting boys do that who say they're girls, then the Biden-Harris administration has already said, we're going to take away your tax dollars that is distributed across the country to Title IX. What's he saying right there? What Waltz was saying is, if someone disagrees with my definition of hate speech, I'm for them not being allowed to speak.
Yep.
That's what he's saying.
And he's going to be a heartbeat away from the presidency if enough people.
Yeah, but that's how these people think.
We saw examples of this during the pandemic. Anybody who disagreed with the federal government, whether it was Dr. Fauci or whoever the case, it was immediately described as misinformation. They were out to ban misinformation. And they had,
as they defined it.
As they defined it. And they basically put pressure on social media to say, take those people off. They are not allowed to hold an opinion on this. Right. The opinion disagrees with us. Therefore, we want to ban their opinion.
Right.
And punish them.
Which is the antithesis of the reason the First Amendment was created in our country by our forefathers and our founding fathers is protecting especially political speech in which you disagree.
Yes. This is very dangerous, the agenda that's out there.
Yeah.
Imagine for a second, and it's not just individuals, and I think Robert alluded to this, when he talked about Christian schools, we're going to come in and look at your curriculum.
Right.
If you're teaching something that's against our gender, our homosexual, transgender agenda, we're going to come after you.
Yeah. Well, and to your point here, Kamala Harris, we played this clip last week. She is in favor of doing away with exemptions for religious medical providers in the way of abortion. Like, she doesn't want a Catholic doctor to be like, I'm not doing that, or a Baptist doctor, somebody like that.
In other words, she's against the freedom of the Catholic doctor, as you described it, or some other pro-life doctor.
Right.
She believes they need to be compelled.
Yes. Yeah, they need to be forced to do it. And if they will do it in the waiting room, they will do it in your living room.
Do we have that clip? Were you going to play a clip or something?
Yes. Well, we don't have time now because it's about a minute long. But to Robert's point and the concerns that you guys had here that you've already expressed, Pastor Jack Hibbs was a guest on Jenna's show today, and he was on to talk about the importance of Christians in voting. And Pastor Hibbs said, look, a lot of people don't like Trump's personality. I get it. But we're not electing a pastor. And Kamala's policies are far worse on these issues, building off of what you just discussed with
Robert. Kind of what Robert said.
And I have posted that audio from Jenna's show on our Facebook page.
I'll tell you what we'll do. We will play it after the break.
Okay.
We'll play it after the break. And Steve Paisley Jordahl will join us in just a few minutes here. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
So Fred and I shall return with more of today's issues on this Election Day Eve. And Fred will tell us what we're going to be doing here tomorrow evening with our live coverage on American Family Radio. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this